center. God made the church 2,000 years ago, and he commanded his destiny to be his bride forever. So this is the house of bread, Jesus Christ. We feed them what is his bread. So he has law, right? Love your Father, Heavenly Father, with all your soul and your mind. So breaking down to 10 commandments, right? And it's essentially the two. Love your God with all your soul, all your mind, and everything. And then love your neighbor, just like you love yourself. When you do that, obedience to God, you are the kingdom family, amen?
Amen.
So it was like we have to demonstrate our Christianity as if we are the God's family at home, in community, at the church, at the school, whatever you are. Most importantly, you have to demonstrate your leadership and your Christian life at home. Be a good example. You have to be a good example to your little ones. Others, but they're not going to respect you. They're not going to respect God. You know, that's what happened today. Today's world is so chaos because they do not have upbringing in Christianity in a way. But never too late. Just because they're gone, you just forget about it? No. Right now is right time. Amen? Right now is right time. But we do one step at a time. That was Martin Luther King. So this month, we're designated as the this month's Passion of Christ. But today's topic, Jesus' Passion of Cross. Of cross. There's so much passion. Talk of the passion. When you love somebody, you love passionately. You need to love each other passionately. Otherwise, you cannot put up with their bad habit comes out. When you love someone passionately, you can overlook their misbehavior, overlook their lacking. But when you don't love each other passionately, you're going to be fighting all the time. Jesus Christ loved us passionately. Our God loved passionately. He was willing to sacrifice his only son. Amen? And Jesus Christ loved so passionately. He was so eagerly going to the cross for us. That's why he came to this world as Lamb of God, so he can be slain. Glory to God. So let's go to today's scripture. We're going to, this scripture was written 900 years prior to Jesus' crucifixion. So this is a prophecy. You see, David was writing this, he did not know what he said, that he was writing by himself. But that's what prophetic is. When the prophets, when they write, they think they're writing by themselves. But actually, God is using his mouth, he's uttering. So that's what this is all about. Let's read together. It's Psalm 22, verse 1 through 8, and verse 14 to 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the voice of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I'm not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the face of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trust and you deliver them. They cried to you and you saved them. They were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their head. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My spirit has dried up like a passion, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garment among them and cast lots. for my folly. But you, O Lord, do not bar out all my strength. Come quickly, late to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, thank you for this precious life you have given us, Father. By paying the high price, you took my sins upon the cross for my place, so I can be called your princess. I can be called your disciple. I can be called your daughter. It's an honor and a humble, Father. Thank you for our ministry. Thank you for being head of our church. Thank you for being foundation of our church. Thank you for prospering, protecting our church, Father. Till the day you call our name in the air, we may be raptured right to your everlasting arm forever, Father. Thank you for this privilege, Father. Thank you for bringing our family. Thank you for touching them. Thank you for opening up their eyes of their heart, Father, so they may understand, comprehend the depth of your love, Father, the severity, the calamity of pain you went through for me and them, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for feeding us. Thank you for allowing us to receive them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may recognize the opening words of this psalm as some of the words that Christ cried when he was on the cross. The same word is at Matthew, Mark, and John. Exactly the same word. He said, we go like this. Exact word. Elohim, Elohim, lama sabachthani. That means, Abba, Father, why thou hast forsaken me? But this was 1,000 years later this prophecy was written. So it was prophecy that God had a plan to sacrifice his only begotten son to save you and I. Isn't that wonderful? It just did not happen accidentally or coincidentally. It was a plan. Right here today. And was visioning this. David, and Jesus Christ came through David's line. That's what David's line, okay? Elizabeth, Mary came from David's line, and Joseph came from David's line. So David was a visioning. He was surrounded by all the enemies, and he could not escape from his enemy. And then he sees a vision, Jesus Christ on the cross. So that was the scene we're reading today. Praise God. So I see there are three categories in today's message. Number one is that Jesus Christ has to suffer and die to pay the price for our sin. There's no way. So he had to die. And then what happened? Just because Jesus was his son, God did not favor them. He gave them full wrath upon Jesus Christ as he became our sin. He did not favor him. He did not give him like a 90%. He did not give him 75%. You're my son, okay, I'm just going to give you like if you have a red 100%, he did not give them 80%. He gave 100%. Why is that? Our sin, the price of our sin had to pay in full. Amen? So that's why Father had to give him all the wrath that he demanded. So you and I can be saved. I know Satan even today tried to tell you. And he did this and that, just like Satan did to Eve. You know, did God really say that you would die if you eat that fruit? And even Eve said, no, we can eat all the fruit except the one. You're not going to die. What happened? She ate. We all got inflicted. We all, our souls are dead. That's why Jesus Christ came to this world, died in our place, so we can live. It's sacrificial. Amen? Number two is that God is faithful to his promise. You see? People change their mind all the time. God sent me to South Bend, learn about people. I'm so naive, even today. I believe everything people tell me. And then later on, they prove that they're idiots. And then, okay, and I move on. But God sent me to South Bend for 4 years. I learned so much of the people. They warned me nothing. You see? There's, oh, I need this, and I need that, and the next thing. Oh, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. But God is God of promise. Genesis 3, God promised that I will send the Messiah. They call it proto-evangelium. I'm cursing you right now, man, Adam, because you sinned. And I'm going to turn this whole nature into the thistles. So you're going to have to work, make you sweat so you can eat. And a woman, I'm going to degrade you so you can become a man's subject. You will worship your husband, but he will rule over you. And he took away the integrity. But I said, but in a later day, I'm going to send you your seed, and your seed, and your seed is going to crush the head of this Satan. That's crucifixion right here. Amen? Our God is God of promise. If we are born-again Christian, we need to be word of honor. We need to keep our promise. And otherwise, people look at us, you're not really Christian. See? Our God is God who promised. He's faithful. And he's ourselves. So we have our faith. We have to honor our words. Amen? Amen? Number three, Christ's future kingdom. What is that? What are we looking for? What is Christ's kingdom, future kingdom? What's our name of our church? The Millennium Christian Center. That's what we're talking about. The millennium is going to happen any minute. Alright? So Christ is going to come. He's going to call us in the air. And those who are born again in Christ will hear his voice. And then when the moment here I am, we're going to be lifted. We're going to be raptured with everlasting arms. And while God crushed this ugly world, all these ugly people over here. So who are the ugly people we're talking about? You know, God created everything perfect, right? So how could there be ugly people? There are full of people right here, these soldiers. Jesus described them as dogs and lions. They're bulls, toxins. There are so many of them out there. Aren't they the ones crucified by Jesus Christ? They are not nice people. They are Satan's people. They are full of them at the church, and all over the place, trying to deceive you. And our sins then pay fully upon the cross. And the Satan people will tell you, no. You know, just because they don't believe it, you're still a sinner. Don't believe it. Christ paid our price fully. Amen? We've been redeemed. We've been liberated up on that Christ. So that's three things. Number one, Jesus had to die. Why? Because of us. Number two, our God is faithful. So when God said you are this, you are that. Amen? Number three, there will be a millennium. What's the millennium stands for? 1,000 years. Christ will reign 1,000 years, and those who are born again will reign with him as a judge. We're going to be judged, the fallen angels. We're going to be judged to the Israelite. Even though Israelite was the first, but in Christianity, there's no seniority. First will come last will come first. It happens all the time. God is a fair God. God only judges according to your behavior, according to your demonstration, not what you say. So we have a millennium coming. It's going to happen very, very soon. If you believe it, you'll be blessed. If you don't believe it, you're lost. Take it or leave it. Praise the Lord. Believe it. Believe it. Amen?
Amen.
So this is the ultimate hope for Psalm 22. Psalm that begins with God forsaking his son, right? But Jesus is separate from God because we can be, we go right in between. So we were, God said we were not even people. God said you are not even people. You are our enemy. You are not even nation. But and then God said, now you are whiter than snow. You are my holy priest. You are peculiar. You know what peculiar people means? That means handpicked the one. Handpicked. So what happened? God called us and then just handpicked the people. They are peculiar people. These peculiar people are born again Christians. These people are going to have a millennium without Jesus Christ. And then after the 1,000 years, that heaven and earth be one, we're going to be just all together with God. Amen? In the millennium, there will be another trial time because God's going to lose Satan short time and test the people. So getting the kingdom of heaven is not an easy thing. But in Christ, it is easy. In Christ, it's really easy. Just you riding under his wing. If you just die, deny yourself, give to God. Let him make a decision. Everything you do, everything will turn out perfectly, even though it may not seem at the time. It happens all the time. So don't let your mind fool you. But what the Bible said, this is it, and that's what you'll go by. Amen? That's the born again Christian. And now you know how much you had to pay, how much price you had to pay. So when he said, Father, my body's so open that I can count all my bones, my tongue's than my mouth, I can't even talk. I mean, just can you imagine the father, that's imagine your mother, when you watch one of your son severely damaged like that, how did you feel? Broken, right? Broken. But father must love so much to endure that kind of pain. But our father did that. So over here, I'm going to explain because we as his body, we are his church's body, right? We need to understand the significance to each event, to each episode, his suffering, abuse, and mockery, to understand the calamity of Jesus' passion for the cross. Let's explore the torture, his suffering in being scourged. Or blood. It's in John. Did you have John 19, verse 1 through 3? Can you put it on there? I want you to really understand, try to feel it, what Jesus went through. The humiliation, the pain, and the degrading. He stood to soldier to try to degrade our Jesus, and they were having fun, but if they should live, they were all dead. Very good here. Earthquake. Got it?
Here we go.
This is 19, verse 1 through 3. Then the pilot took Jesus and had him flogged. You know what they mean? Just do whatever you want. The soldier twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they struck him. Can you see this one? They go and worship him, hail King, and they just strut his face like that. Can you picture that? That's what they did. This low-graded, stupid soldiers. Make me so mad. I was. And then, Pilato가 예수를 데려다가 채찍질 하더라. 군병들이 가시로 면류관을 엮어 그 머리에 씌우고 자색 옷을 입히고 앞에서 가로대 유다인의 왕이여 평안할지어다 하면서 손바닥으로 예수님 땀을 내린 거예요. The ripping part of his flesh, wounds, the blood, he did it for us. Amen? So what is this like a ripping part? When they hit him, so in their traditional law, when somebody fought, they stripped him. No clothes. And then, you know, the king wears a robe, the purple robe, so, and they tried to mock him like, just come over here, and Jesus was naked while they were beating him up. And then when he was on the ground, remember we see that like the leather strap, like that, like 5-6 of them, and each in the leather strap, there's a metal hooks, about 5-6 inches long. And each hook represents a certain sin. So what did he do? The soldier throw it out, bake it in. So each time, my Jesus' body was torn. He groans. And they kick him, and they just beat him up. And then the thorn crown, put him on there. The thorns were 3.5 inches long, the thorn. And put him over here, they shut it, and they twist like that. And the blood comes down. So Jesus sheds blood from his head, his body, his side, his hand, his feet. Amen? So then he got beaten so bad, he said he could count his bones, every bone. And people look at him and said, shook their head. Well, let's see, his father will rescue him. That's what he said, verse 8 over here, Psalm 22. But indeed, our God rescued him. He could not let his anointed one rotten in the hell. Praise God. So I want you to understand. And then there's another episode. And then they put like a crown, and then they put the robe like just a king. And then what's the scepter? What does the scepter represent? You know, like a scepter, you group, like a queen, have a king. And he even breathed like a karte. So this is kind of just teasing him. And he gave him one of those and put the gold crown and a purple robe and a hail king, peace be unto you, and a slap back at him. That's what they did. This kind of mockery, this kind of teasing, this kind of degrading my Jesus for me. For you. I want you to remember the calamity of pain and suffering that he went through for you and for me. See, this grace of God is supposed to be free, right? It's so priceless. You cannot put a price tag on it. That's why it's so free. You cannot put a price tag on it. So our grace, our salvation is free to us, but it costs Jesus' life. Because our God is such life. To say my beloved children. See, God sacrificed his only begotten Son, and he was satisfied with the Jesus blood, and made us his friend. We can sit at the same table. Millennial Kingdom, we're going to be sitting with my Jesus at the same table and serve him 1,000 years. I would not trade that for anything. Even if I give my life to him just right now, it would be fair trade, would it? Because how can I, sinner's life, be equated with the divine life of Jesus Christ? Even if I die right now for him, it's not good enough. But my Jesus is not really honored and respected in the church today. They treat him like a, hey, buddy. One day I was with my so-called friends, and he used to be a Catholic. And he got really brave and tried to talk to a friend. But that's what Jesus did. First thing he came out of the cross, he said, give me a beer. I blew it. I said, how dare you trash mouth? You're not even, your mouth shouldn't even mention Jesus' name. I was so mad at him, you know. And then that I was overly exaggerating, but it's so true. They have no clue who our God is, how much he was serious, how much suffering he went through, what they went through to redeem us, and someone to talk like that about my Jesus, it's not going to happen in my presence. We need to learn to defend our Jesus, his dignity, his sovereignty. He did not go through that because he had no power. He had all the power. He created the whole universe and everything with his wisdom. He could command all the winds to rise up and destroy this stupid soldier. He could have done it. But he did not. Because you and I are guilty. Our God is the mighty God. When we are born again, and this is what's going to happen, we're going to be with him forever and ever. I don't want to sleep 1,000 years and then go to hell. No. I'm going to go all the way eternal. Amen? The 1,000 years is the intermediate stage. The 1,000 years. So today you learn that Jesus had died. Number second, two is that our God is faithful. When he said millennium, they will be millennium. It's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Number three, the millennium. We are going to go into the millennium. Praise God. Understand what the thorns were, thorns represent. I explained to you earlier. The thorns represent the curse. So when we go to another scripture, he said, every thorn is found when Christ came, and the proud heart cannot hear him. But only humble, those like a shepherd, hear his coming. And every curse is found, they lifted. So all those who are humble ones. That's why when Christ came, and they had the angel announced the Christ coming to the poor shepherd in the field. Not the kings and senators and congressmen and presidents. They didn't do that. But of course, there's three magi came from far east. I think they're Orient land. When you say far east, you should talk about China, Mongol in that area. But God came to this world. He suffered this for people who are humble, the lepers, the prostitutes, the widows, the orphans, the sick people, those who are abused under the foot of these rich people, the powerful people. But our Jesus Christ is all power. We must honor his sovereignty. We must be honored that we are called his family. I'm dishonored and humbled that I can proclaim that Jesus Christ is our King. Jesus Christ is King. Is coming again to take us home. We are being liberated in him because he suffered and died. Romans 5, 23 or 6 said, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what happened 2017 years ago. Don't let Satan deceive you. You are God with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are being liberated completely. Don't let Satan deceive you. We are precious. We are priceless because Jesus Christ was on us. Amen? We are priceless. Don't let people tell you otherwise. Mm-hmm. So therefore, go out and shed the light and walk as children of God, the born-again children. Demonstrate your faith. Demonstrate love to your neighbors, in your community, at a church. Church is like a hospital. Many sick people come here. Many blind come here. Many dead come over here. Many lame come over here. We need to show them love so they can become well. Amen? We are called for that. Let's work together. Build this kingdom until he calls us in our heir. Amen? Pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for all us celebrate the Passion Week. We love you. We love you so much for your deep love for us, Father, that you went through such a common thing as a one word, knowing that you're